You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
It ain't the left side or the right side, then it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side or the right side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the finfanatic.com website and the Fansided Network. I'm Brian Kat, NFL on Twitter. Paul is Fanatic_pick. You know, Paul, looking at the preseason, you know, with three games here, it's pretty clear what each one is about. The first one is to really get for each team to just wet the whistle, get on the field. The third one is for the players trying to make the roster. And the second one is really the dress rehearsal. And if that's the case tonight, even though the Falcons did not start a lot of players tonight, this was fun. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Tua Tagovailoa leads the offense to 75 and 76-yard touchdown drives, has another 68-yard drive. Sam Egwuavon blows the doors off the place. And we didn't lose Jaylen Waddle. So that helps.
Yeah, he looked pretty devastated over what pretty much seemed to be a bruise. It looked like he got kicked in the thigh on the replay. No, this was an exciting game. I mean, I never expected Sam Egwuavon to look like the second coming of Lawrence Taylor in this one, no matter who it was up against.
Sam Egwuavon went to the same college, Texas Tech, as Zach Thomas. I'm not saying they're the same player. Not saying he'll even make the roster. But, you know, when you look at the game here, you know, we're looking for players that are going to step up and are going to make an impact to the point where you start thinking, okay, they may make a difference in that final 53-man roster that's going to be set on August 30th. So Egwuavon certainly made the case. And it's also a really congested linebacker spot behind Jerome Baker and Bernard McKinney, with Egwuavon, Brennan Scarlett, Duke Riley, Shaq Griffin. I mean, a lot of different guys there. So Egwuavon, it's hard in just one preseason game to put yourself on the roster. And maybe he didn't here, but, you know, this made a huge impact for him and for the game, obviously.
Attention, listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston. Do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with their Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. Ready for an out-of-this-world experience, fellas? Look no further than the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped that has just taken off not only in the USA, but Canada, the UK, across Europe, Australia, South Africa, and Singapore. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold your whole solar system. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. For a clean Trinity and beyond, your space balls will thank you. It very much did. Now, I'm going to take a little different tack than I think a few folks are with this one. It's Egwuban has no chance of starting in this defense. I mean, he does have an opportunity to be a role player. But again, coming in to be that pass rush threat in a normal game with guys like Jalen Phillips, Andrew Van Ginkle, etc. on the roster. I think that Miami's best bet at this point, if Chris Greer is a smart man, is Egwuban's value will never be higher than it is right here, right now, tonight. He's not going to come out and throw down a four-sack game with a safety next week. I'd love it if he did, but he's probably not going to. I'd be on the phone with teams like Green Bay, teams like Detroit, teams like Washington, teams that have needs at the linebacker position, and just seeing, what would you guys think about giving up for a player like Sam Egwuban, who just basically showed everybody that he can be the guy?
Well, yeah, and those are the teams that would be in the market for linebacker there. My thing on that is, even for what he did tonight, you're probably not going to get more than a late-round pick for him.
Probably not, but you've got some tough cuts to make anyway. You've got some tough choices to make anyway. He's a guy that I have on my final 53, at least one of them or two of them or three of them, because we've done a few so far. And is he monumentally better than Duke Riley or Shaq Griffin? Possibly not. And what you may be able to do, you may be able to flip him for a player that may not be making that roster in a position that you have a need for. I know we just traded for Greg Little this past week, but you may be able to shop around for a discounted offensive tackle from a team that really needs the linebacker help. Shake Money, you're the man, dude. You know, you may be able to shop to one of these teams that basically might have a better bruising running back than Malcolm Brown, because it's, yes, Malcolm Brown, Jared Doakes, they averaged over 4 yards a carry tonight, but this is a very bad Falcons defensive line and defense overall. So, like, I am very optimistic what I saw as far as performance goes from a bunch of folks on offense tonight. I also am not under the illusion that a defense that was missing a couple of people and was bad when at full strength anyway is the true litmus test for things like the running game.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Egwuban had a great game here tonight, and, you know, if it increases the value to the point where you can flip him for a late round pick or for another player, I mean, maybe that's something worth looking at. But the big thing, though, I think after something like tonight, and given that Sam Egwuban has been on the team for the last 3 years, he's always played well when he's gotten on the field. He can play special teams. And, you know, he can be that two down linebacker as well. So I would rather just keep him on the roster unless you get a decent offer for him, which I don't think the Dolphins will. So the more important thing for me on the offensive side of the ball was the play of Tua. 16 completions. So he went 16 for 23, 183 yards and a touchdown tonight. Drives of 75 yards, 76 yards, and if not for a, I'm not going to say drop by Malcolm Perry, but it's a catch that's he's got to make in that situation on fourth down, we might have been talking about three drives of 70 plus yards that ended in touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, he started off the game, what, 8 for 8, which, if memory serves, and I can pull up the box score and double check, he had more completions in a row to start the game than the Falcons' offense had, period, tonight, which is pretty impressive. And I think it was the ninth pass of the game was one that I believe it was Jalen Waddle dropped on that one. Even though it was a little bit of a tough catch, it was still a catchable ball. So, I mean, yeah, Tua looked locked in tonight. And it's funny, too, when you look at the box score, because there were a number of players that felt like they just had an amazing game and didn't put up a huge stat line. Guys like Mac Hollins yet again. It's very interesting to see where Miami goes with that wide receiver room, because some of the top guys have been hurt, but some of the guys up behind them have been performing well. Robert Foster had his best night tonight. Mac Hollins continues to impress. Kirk Merritt had a fantastic night tonight. And there are going to be some very tough cuts. I believe it was Jason Taylor said on the broadcast tonight that there are going to be guys that don't make this roster that end up playing significant roles on other teams, especially at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about the wide receiver linebackers stepping up tonight. They certainly did that. I mean, Kirk Merritt really making a case, maybe not for the 53-man roster because it's so stocked right now, but you know, he has a great 27-yard catch and run from Jacoby Brissett. And, it's in line with what he's been doing in practice as well, according to reports. And then there's the touchdown late in the game there from Reed Sinnett, where he separates and uses great body positioning to do that as well. And Robert Foster, you know, can play special teams. He averaged over 20 yards a catch for the Bills a couple of years ago. And you saw that separation on that touchdown too here. And as far as I'm concerned, Mac Hollins has made the roster. I mean, I think it's as close to a lock as you can get at this point. Not only is he a great special teamer, but every time Tua throws him the ball, he looks like more of a complete receiver.
Yeah, no, this was the best I've really seen Mac Hollins look. And it has nothing to do with the defense he was up against. It has to do with the way that he played. And, you know, the defense was bad, but Tua was locked in tonight. He was putting the ball in places only his receiver could get it. And even Brissett, I think, had a good game as well. So I do feel even more comfortable now. I know he was a guy that we targeted before Miami signed him, but I feel even more comfortable now if he needs to play a role at any point in time. There's a lot to like about this. And Kat, we've got our first big earned reference in chat. So I thought you'd appreciate that one.
Oh, big earn. I was saving one for the end of the show here for Dolphinator 13 on Twitter. I'm not sure if that's him because I don't look at the chat a lot of the times here.
And then I had to be a Munson and bring it up early.
A Munson. So yeah, I mean, Duke Riley is somebody at the linebacker spot. To quote Big Earn, he's on a gravy train with biscuit wheels at this point. So Calvin Munson with a unbelievable handsy interception there in the third quarter. And Munson is somebody who has been on the Dolphins. The minute he got on the roster late in 2019, he has dressed and played in every game because of his special teams ability. They're also giving him looks at outside linebacker, inside linebacker throughout camp. So that's typically not something you do if you're planning to cut a player like Calvin Munson. That's why I'm going to have him probably on my next updated 53-man roster, especially after tonight.
I'll give you a sneak peek. I still don't. But no,
It's a tough group. It's a tough competition, and I think Duke Riley's on the outside looking in right now.
Well, I mean, you look around, and I agree with you on Riley. You look around this team, and really the depth just stands out like crazy tonight. I mean, Ignatius brought up in chat that, you know, Strobridge was in on the safety. And he's a guy that's right on the bubble of this team. You look at some of the defensive tackle play tonight. Butler played out of his mind. Zach Sealer had a huge stuff. You know, Nick Needham continued to show on the boundary yet again that he has a lot of value for this team, and he's an ascending player. Jamal Perry played well in limited action. Top to bottom across the defense at the wide receiver position. The tight end position is going to feature some tough cuts. And even the running back room is going to have some tough cuts. So it's pretty impressive that we've seemed to have tough cuts almost everywhere other than at quarterback, and we're pretty dialed in with Tua and Jacoby Brissett.
Absolutely. And Jacoby Brissett, I already know what he can do and what he can't do. I mean, for our listeners who don't know, he had the lowest interception rate for, I don't know what it was, 600 or 700 plus passes for anybody else in the history of the NFL. We know what this guy can do. He's a big, tall quarterback. He's smart. He checks the ball down and he avoids interceptions. And that's exactly what you want there at the as backup quarterback, because if it's a situation where, heaven forbid, Tua goes down, Jacoby Brissett gets in there, you want somebody who's just going to hold a finger in the dam. That's exactly what Jacoby Brissett can do. And Reed Sinnett gets in there and throws a touchdown to Kirk Merritt. I still can't stand watching him throw a football. He looked a little bit better tonight. I mean, I guess, you know, can they please draft a quarterback in the sixth or seventh round? Just to give us something to watch here in the third and fourth quarter of preseason games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. You know, I want one at least every other year, if not every year. But I'm happy with the quarterback position. We've got other needs to fill. It's unfortunately no Igbinoghi, though, continues to be a little bit of a disappointment. I really expected more based on what I was hearing at the end of the season last year. But I didn't even like him returning kickoffs in this game.
I'm with you. I mean, even if Igbinoghi takes a step up, I'm really worried about how good he's actually going to be long term. And I just don't see it with him. I mean, he looks like, so if you see him out there, maybe it's a number 9 jersey, I don't know. But if you see him out there in the third, fourth quarter of this preseason game, he looks like just another guy. And that's not something that you want out of a former first-round pick. You know, at least, you know, for everything I've said about Austin Jackson at left tackle, he at least looks the part. He just needs to get a lot of things corrected. And he's been playing very, very poorly here these last two preseason games. I've got to take a quicker or more of a look at him tonight, but I mean, another holding penalty, another potentially drive killer, that's not going to cut it during the regular season for Austin Jackson.
It's not, but I thought he looked okay in this one. I thought he did progress from last game. The guy I kind of liked when he got in at offensive tackle, even though you didn't hear his name a lot, was Liam Eichenberg. But, you know, I thought Larnell Coleman had another good night. You know, I thought Solomon Kinley played well yet again. And really, there wasn't much along the offensive line that was a problem tonight. Granted, we already talked about the fact that the Falcons' D-line isn't the biggest test in the world. But, you know, Shake, I know you brought up in chat, we have tough cuts everywhere except the O-line. I think the O-line actually is going to have some tough cuts because, Kat, when we talked about our 53, I think we had 8 locks and we expect one more to make the team at this point, or maybe 7 locks and 2 more make the team, which is a pretty good place to be. And then you've got guys like Robert Jones, who I know was an undrafted, but they threw the farm at as far as an undrafted goes. Larnell Coleman, who's playing very well. I thought Jesse Davis played well tonight. He's still a lock for me. And then, you know, you've got that battle for the backup center job between your buddy Cam Tom and Matt Skip the Ball Skura. So it's...
Hey, Matt Skura played tonight, and he looked good snapping the ball. And I think physically, he's a lot better than Cam Tom. Yeah, I'm going to call him now on Cameron Thompson, even though it's not his last name. Matt Skura, I thought Skura looked pretty decent. But overall, what it comes down to, I think you've really got 7 locks on the team.
Yeah,
you've got Austin Jackson, Solomon Kinley, Michael Dieter, Robert Hunt, Liam Eichenberg, Greg Little, and Jesse Davis. Those are your 7 locks on the offensive line. And then you're going to probably keep 2 more. I hope Larnell Coleman is one of them because, yeah, I agree with you. He looks the part, and he looked good tonight. And coming out of UMass, I mean, a raw, raw player. And if he's showing this much technique this early – that's really good for a 7th-round pick.
So, Kat, I'm gonna one-up you there and just preview, you know, if we do an updated 53-man prediction this week. I pretty much have Coleman in the lock camp at this point. With the positional flexibility he's got and how good he's looked already, which is well ahead of any type of schedule anybody would have had for him, except maybe, you know, Mama Coleman. I'm in a good place there.
So I'll transition it to another seventh round pick that you've had on your 53-man roster, and that's Garrett Doakes.
He looked better tonight, but he's going to be a tough keep the way it's going right now. It's the O-line, I think, was opening some massive holes. I'm not buying on him or Malcolm, even though I think they do keep Malcolm at this point. I think Gaskin and Ahmed did a fantastic job, not just in the running game, but in the receiving game tonight. And really, I still think Miami keeps Laird based on the chemistry I saw with him and Tua last year. Heading into this year, they started throwing Laird out in the third down role in this game, and I think that's going to be his role. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be some cuts at the running back position, and I don't think they're going to be as tough as people think they should be.
I have Doakes still off the roster right now, and yeah, I saw some holes in the third and fourth quarter tonight, and Doakes didn't hit him. I mean, for me, he's a rookie, and he's not fast enough. That's what it comes down to, and I think that's what's ultimately going to get him cut. The question is, I think it's going to be a battle for a practice squad role between Jordan Scarlett and Garrett Doakes, and I think actually Scarlett's going to end up winning that. Scarlett is quick to the hole, and I like that about him, and I can't say the same right now about Doakes. Yeah, what else? I mean, defensive back Justin Coleman should have had a touchdown allowed against him tonight against Christian Blake, the Falcons wide receiver, basically bounced right off his chest. And Nick Needham continues, every time he gets on the field, looks like the third best cornerback on this roster. And unlike last year, I say that he has earned the ability to say that he's the number three cornerback on this roster behind Xavier Howard and behind Byron Jones.
I would go a step further with that. He's shown at this point that if Byron Jones or Xavier Howard go down with an injury, two amazing corners as we know, I'm comfortable with Nick starting for a game or two while they get healthy, and allowing them to get healthy, which is a great thing to have, especially from somebody who's not costing a huge amount of salary cap space, and really there aren't huge expectations for. He is doing his job and doing it very well right now. I think he's got it absolutely locked up as the third corner.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Jason Sanders missed a field goal tonight. I mean, it was a 56-yarder, but even that looks pretty weird, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it's you know, I'm going to chalk it up to preseason, and you know, he got a little bored and sleepy with the fact that Miami was winning so heavily that maybe he tired out his leg on extra points. I'm not sure yet.
Oh, it was not a tired leg, that's for sure, because he hit the net like right in the middle of the net, just a little bit to the left. So he's good to go. It just I'm goofing around on that. Carl Tucker was out on the field a little bit tonight at fullback, was a completely useless football player. So I am going to say that I'm going to predict, Paul, that he gets cut.
I'm sure.
Along with Cameron Tom.
No.
Here, when the Dolphins go, when the Dolphins make their next string of cuts here.
Look, Roy, just because you want Munson on the team does not mean you get to cut our fullback. No, I think Tucker loses out to Seathan Carter anyway. I do think they keep Seathan Carter on the roster, use him in that H-back role, occasionally kick him into a fullback. He's just outplayed Tucker at this point. Although, I wouldn't be shocked either if somebody shakes out that they think could be even better in that spot. You know, Seathan Carter's roster spot is not safe either. Yeah, Scummy, I don't think Michael Agnew makes the roster at this point either. But, no, it's... Yeah, no. He was a useless player at a very valuable position, is what I'll say. How's that?
I'm such a big Mizzou fan, too, and, man, they have let down us Dolphins fans. Michael Agnew, Charles Harris. Yeah.
keep your Mizzou fans away from my Dolphins. I think it's just because you probably have a couple Mizzou jerseys at home. You just jinxed anything with them stepping near the Dolphins.
I have on my shelf to the left a Charles Harris signed football and a Drew Locke signed football.
So for any listeners that are new here, I'm going to share with you. If Kat ever says he bought a new jersey, autographed item from a player, picture of a player, takes a selfie with a player, basically does anything other than analyzes a player, just, I want you guys to scream at him in the chat, because he basically will take a very good player or player with a lot of potential, and he is worse than the Madden curse when it comes to this stuff. Absolutely worse than the Madden curse. He takes their career and sets it on fire. I mean, there's no bigger example ever than your damn Jonathan Martin jersey.
Yeah, I still have that up in my closet here. I wonder if how much could I get for that? I don't know if it's like an iconic piece or if it's something that would be like $5.
At this point, you'd have to be a hipster to wear a Jonathan Martin jersey around.
Yes, you would. Yes, you would. That's exactly right.
Wear it ironically.
Paul, tonight was a fun night, really, watching this game here. And I'm looking forward to going back and looking at the offensive line play. One player I want to highlight, too, is Liam Eichenberg, because Eichenberg played all four quarters tonight. He played guard. He played tackle. And clearly they were trying to get Eichenberg some work here. And you've got to think that they're trying to really push him into the starting lineup.
Yeah, I think they're trying to get their best five on the field. And given the positional flexibility a lot of them have, I really liked him at tackle tonight. I know he doesn't meet some of the, you know, draft stock measurables, but I really liked him at tackle. And I thought when he came out there at tackle, I think Kinley was at guard, Hunt was at guard, Dieter was at center, and Austin Jackson was at the other tackle. I thought Eichenberg played very well, and I thought the line looked better and the offense as a whole performed better.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think he shows great body control, and that's what these preseason games are all about. I want to see what the player looks like physically. And Eichenberg, even coming off injury, looked great physically. As far, you know, he's 6'6", 306 pounds. Yeah, he's got to add some weight, but technically, he's extremely sound. And the player I continue to compare him to, even though I wasn't crazy about the pick at the time, is Justin Pugh, who's was a former first-round pick in 2013 of the Giants, is right now starting for the Cardinals, where he's going to – the odds of him not getting on the field at any position is so low that it's – you know, he's going to get on the field if he stays healthy, and he's going to be at least a good player. The ceiling may not be quite that high, but – he's probably going to be a good player with good versatility, and that's what this offensive line needs right now.
Yeah, and while we're on the subject, Adam Burke brought up in our chat, if they do know who the starters are already on the offensive line, I don't think they do. I think they've got their inklings about it, but I think they're really, truly trying out different formulas along that offensive line to see which unit plays the best together. And I like that approach, especially I like the way that they drafted these guys and signed these guys and went after these guys and built up a stable of players that can play multiple positions so that they can truly see which five offensive linemen play the best together. And that's a great way to do it, because you're going to get the best value out of each of those players based around that.
I think we can lock in three players at these positions for week one: Austin Jackson at left tackle, Michael Dieter at center, and Robert Hunt at right guard.
I would say not lock in Hunt. I think he's close, but I still think they're flirting with the idea of moving him back to tackle if it gives him the best lineup.
Yeah, maybe.
I think he starts, but
I think they see him as a Pro Bowl guard. Otherwise, I think they would have been flipping a little bit more with him at this point, because he's played basically every snap at right guard up to this point. And so I think they would have been messing with a few different combinations if not. But it's good to know that Robert Hunt played right tackle at a pretty high level last year. but they see him as a Pro Bowl right guard. So that's, we'll see. But to me, you've got three starters: Austin Jackson, Michael Dieter, and Robert Hunt. As far as week one, I'm not saying I agree with necessarily Dieter or Austin Jackson, but that's what's going to happen in week one. The other ones are pretty fluid at left guard and right tackle.
I will say I agree with Dieter at this point. He has won the job, in my eyes. Unless he comes out and just gets the yips in game three in limited action, he has won the job, at least as far as week one goes.
Absolutely. And I'll end the show too, Paul, with saying that Myles Gaskin, man, was I ever wrong about this guy. I mean, 71 total yards tonight, 27 rushing yards and 44 receiving yards. And what a great check down option for Tua. I mean, it seems like they're so much on the same page, and he's so football smart, where when things break down, Tua climbs the pocket, finds Myles Gaskin. We saw that last year in the Bengals game. If you want to go back to that game, and where the pocket breaks down, Tua rolls out as a rookie and finds Myles Gaskin downfield. They just seem to be on the same page. And I wish we could have three Myles Gaskin right now.
If only you had a good buddy of yours that very publicly tried to tell you about Myles Gaskin when they drafted him. I won't say who. Thank you, John Gordon. I appreciate you. But it's, oh yeah, that was this guy. This guy right here, when they drafted Gaskin, was on the Gaskin train. So I already patted myself on the back for that one, though. And Mike Hall said, and I agree, Kat, for God's sakes, don't buy a Gaskin jersey. Please don't buy a Gaskin jersey.
No, I've retired on buying jerseys.
You said that once before.
And I saw Zach. No, it's been a couple years. Zach, I really wanted to buy a Zach Thomas one the other day, but there's no way in hell he's going to the Hall of Fame if I end up buying that jersey. So I won't. That's my promise to you. And that's going to do it for our show tonight. Be sure to join us on Facebook, Twitter, FinFanatic.com, and the Fansided Network, too. Be sure to follow me at BrianCatNFL, Paul at Fanatic_pick. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the fin side.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.